When discussing presidential favorites, almost always does Ronald Reagan's name come up. He is adored by many, from people who witnessed him serve to others like myself who have simply heard about it. Americans decided that he would be the man to lead them through the 1980s. Generally, people decided it went pretty damn well, but they always forget one thing. The time his administration illegally funded an anti-communist group in Nicaragua. This is better known as the Iran-Contra scandal, and it is essentially swept under the rug when talking about American history. If you didn't live while this was happening, there is a good chance you've never heard of it. That is, until today. I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and you're listening to the Chronicles of Time. Let's dive into the Iran-Contra scandal. In 1979, years before Ronald Reagan was inaugurated, an American embassy in Iran was sieged and 52 American embassy workers were held hostage. President Jimmy Carter and his administration attempted to get the hostages home, but failed time after time. This gave the presidential candidate, Ronald Reagan, a chance to make his future term start off on the right note. A former member of the Reagan administration claims that George H.W. Bush had a hand in delaying the release of American hostages in Iran until Reagan won the presidency. This would ensure Jimmy Carter wouldn't be the one getting them home, making him look even worse around election time. Ironically, after 444 days, the hostages would be released on the exact same day Ronald Reagan would be sworn into office. Coincidence or not? But really, how do you hate a president that releases American hostages on day one of his job? You're a smart one, Reagan. When Reagan was elected, the multiple decade-long Cold War was still ongoing. Reagan's enemies were communists and anyone or anything attempting to further it. Over in Nicaragua, a socialist group called the Sandinistas overthrew the right-wing dictatorship in 1979. Reagan feared the Sandinistas were going to spread communism in Central America, so he needed to take action. Luckily for Reagan, the Sandinistas had direct enemies called the Contras. The Contras were formed in an attempt to overthrow the Sandinistas and bring the right-wing movement back to Nicaragua. Both President Reagan and the CIA supported the Contras. In fact, Reagan once said, "They are the moral equal of our founding fathers." While Reagan would advocate for them and call them the freedom fighters, in reality, the Contras were accused of human rights abuse. Kidnapping, killing civilians, and torture were just some on the list. Nevertheless, Reagan's support was unwavering. He had Congress funding the Contras until a Massachusetts senator named Edward P. Boland decided to take action. The Boland Amendment was passed in 1983, which prohibited the CIA, Department of Defense, or any other government entities to use funds for the purpose of overthrowing the Nicaraguan government. There was a loophole, though. They were going to send funds without the intent to overthrow the Nicaraguan government. Easy peasy. They can manage that. All was fine and dandy until they passed a second Boland Amendment, which prohibited any intelligence agency directly or indirectly supporting military operations in Nicaragua. Well, I guess it's now time to stop funding them. Only it still wasn't. Reagan's administration was so desperate to fight communism, they would go to any lengths. Deciding that the National Security Council wasn't an intelligence agency, Reagan told Bud McFarland, his national security advisor, to go to whatever length he needed to, essentially giving him the go-ahead to do any means necessary to fund the Contras. By 1985, seven Americans were held hostage by Iranian terrorists in Lebanon. We had to get the hostages home, and fast. Reagan didn't want to be like his predecessor, Jimmy Carter. Bud McFarland had an idea. He thinks we should negotiate with Iran to get the hostages home. Publicly, Reagan was known for not negotiating with terrorists, but behind closed doors, he approved of McFarland's plan. Iran was known for calling America the Great Satan and saying, "Death to America," making the entire transaction unsettling. In the meantime, the Contras still needed funding to fight the Sandinistas. Working for the National Security Council, Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North was the man to help find the money. Northwood fundraised through third parties such as Saudi Arabia, Taiwan, and Israel to collect money. The Contras turned to the cocaine trade for whatever other money they needed. Despite having a trade embargo with Iran, the negotiations were arms for hostages. We would sell Iran weapons in trade for the American hostages. But Oliver North had some other tricks up his sleeve. He proposed diverting some of the money that the United States would spend on weapons to the Contras. How much exactly? Well, $18 million of the $30 million intended to go to Iran would be sent to the Contras. All was hush-hush and kept under wraps about the transaction. That is, until a senior official in the Iranian army leaked the plan to a Lebanese newspaper. Inevitably, the newspaper broke the story. Back in the States, Attorney General Edwin Meese begins to hear of the story and has no choice but to investigate. Meese discovers the truth and informs Americans that the government had been sending money to the Contras. At this point, Oliver North had become the National Security Advisor, but once the public found out about the scandal, Reagan fired him. North's secretary removed documents from his office after he was fired. The two would go on to shred and burn documentation relating to the deal. In response to the breaking news, Reagan created the Tower Commission, named after Senator John Tower from Texas, who would lead the investigation. Basically, Reagan set up an investigation into the Reagan administration. That doesn't look too great. The Attorney General doesn't believe that's enough, so he appoints former Deputy General to President Eisenhower, Lawrence Walsh, to head an independent counsel to investigate the scandal. Ultimately, criminal charges were brought against 14 Reagan administration and staff. Reagan, trying to cover his behind, goes on television and says that he is to blame. He was unaware of the events, but it was still under his administration. The hearings were broadcasted for 13 weeks, and over 30 people would go on to testify. During Oliver North's testimony, he would wear his Marine uniform and take blame for the operation. He defended his actions, even shredding the documents. He would say in his testimony, "I shredded. I was never told not to shred. I shredded because I thought it was the right thing to do. When I didn't have a shredder, I put it in a burn bag, and they were burned." For heaven's sakes, why on earth? Why would you burn official government documents? There had to be things in those papers that didn't need to be brought to light. When asked why he destroyed the documents, North said the documents could put lives at risk. Oliver North would go on to be convicted of destroying documents, accepting bribes, and obstructing justice. He would go on to serve a total of 0 days in prison. Yes, you heard me. Not a single day. North got off on a technicality. Throughout his life, he scored a job with Fox and even became president of the NRA. A legal annex with the president pay off, kids. Others would have similar luck. Reagan's Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, National Security Advisor Bud McFarland, and two CIA members were pardoned by President George H.W. Bush during his term. The wicked must have each other's back. One person who didn't get so lucky was the Iranian who leaked the story to the Lebanese newspaper. He was executed. As for the president, have you heard of Ronald Reagan going to jail? Of course not. He actually ended his 8 years with the highest approval rating since Franklin D. Roosevelt. As for 40 years later, he is looked at with high regard and considered one of the best to have done it. What made Ronald Reagan and the Iran-Contra scandal so much different than Richard Nixon and Watergate? There were cover-ups and obstruction of justice in each. My question is, was America beginning to become numb by being betrayed and lied to by their government? Another week, another glorious Washington scandal. Thank you for listening to this episode over the Iran-Contra scandal. I know it takes a while to connect Iran and the Contras together, but just remember, the essence is that the Reagan administration sold weapons to Iran, but diverted the majority of the money to the Contras. Next time you're discussing the biggest scandals in Washington, and all they talk about is Watergate, hit them with Iran-Contra. I bet you'll turn some heads. If you like this episode, leave me a rating or review. If you have any episode suggestions, questions, or simply want to talk history, email me at thechroniclesoftimepodcast@gmail.com. I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and you just listened to The Chronicles of Time.